Good morning. My name is Herman Polk, and I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a message for you from the Word of God, and I pray that your day and your life from now on will be better because of this message. If you're visiting with us, I want to extend a special greeting to you. And if you give us a chance, we'll shake your hand. Some of us might even try to hug you, so be on guard. We love you. We love God and we love you. This morning I want to talk to you about fear and love as they relate to one another. It is by no means an exhaustive study of the subject, but I believe that you'll be able to take this message and to use it in your life. I appreciate all of your prayers. I think I just heard the Holy Spirit crank up the reserve generator, and the computer is trying to get online so that I can present to you what I have worked to make possible. Don't forget this. I don't know who said it first, but it is a wonderful statement based on the Word of God. Fear knocked at the door. Faith answered the door. No one was there. It is so important for us to understand this. This is scripture based. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. Perfect love casts out fear. That is so important. I was about 6 years old the first time I remember hearing it, because we looked at some old film even last night. It called back the memory. But some of you heard it. You were old enough to hear it. Have to be pretty old to remember this. A man by the name of Franklin Delano Roosevelt got on the radio and said something to a whole nation that changed our nation. I remember where I was. I was about 6 when I heard this. It was broadcast several times. But we had a radio. We had no electricity. We had an old radio, and it was hooked up to the car battery so that we could hear. And I heard him say, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." And every time I hear that replayed, I remember hearing it for the first time. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. Perfect love casts out fear. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus said something to his disciples that we should remember. And he said these things to his disciples, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. It is so important for us to recognize that fear cannot stand in the presence of faith and love. That faith and love abolish fear. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says to him, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline." The New King James says, "Instead of discipline, a sound mind." God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind, or the ability to control the lives that we live. Alan read to us from Ecclesiastes, and I thought, well, maybe I should have preached from Ecclesiastes. That would be more in keeping with my character and my health and my age and all of these things. But Solomon sums up the whole of life on this earth. The theme of the Ecclesiastes is under the sun. And he ends by saying, now let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What's the word fear today and the word love? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Different version from what Alan read. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with everything that we've done, whether good or evil. However you look at it, it is important for us to recognize that in the end, we will give account of our lives. And when he talks about fearing God, he is talking about a reverence for God. I have several extra copies of this sermon outline. I used to do this in, especially in Fruitland, where I had a number of people who were elderly. I didn't figure I'd need very many because there aren't any elderly people here. But if you should decide that you'd like to have a copy of this outline, it'll have some references in it that we'll not get to today. And these are from Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. But when we talk about the spirit that God has given us, not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And John writes in Revelation 1:17, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." When I look at the world, when I look at all the things around us in the world, it's scary. It's frightening. And only the power of God and the love of God that protects us can keep us from the evil that is in the world. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus addresses this. I want you to keep it close. If you don't have it marked in your Bible, mark it. said, and do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. It is so important for us to recognize the power that God has. That is a part of our faith. And if our faith is strong enough to use that. In our class this morning, we heard about someone who needed an answer about how to become a Christian. We need to understand that there are always people who need to know. So Peter said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, being ready always to give an answer to every person who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. But that's not all of it. The last phrase is, in meekness and fear. Rather than arrogance, we need meekness. The fear we need is, I need to say this right. I have never, and I'm sure will never, preach a sermon that turned out exactly like I wanted it to. I don't think anybody's ever said to me, that was a perfect sermon. Did you take a nap? I surely missed something. But it's important for us to recognize that God has given us this spirit of power and love and self-control so that we may put the fear that we feel in its proper place. Reverence God. Love God and serve Him. Reverence Him. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. You have not received a spirit of slavery, but a spirit of love, of power, the ability to do God's will. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17, I know that I drive Tom crazy. He does a wonderful job back there. But I bounce around sometimes. Verse 17 of 1 Peter chapter 1. And if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth. Fear in the sense of respect and of awe, of wanting to please God. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul again addresses the Philippian church. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. So then, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You ever wonder if you're right or wrong? You've probably met someone who's never wrong, but they're wrong all the time. That's the problem. And they think they're right all the time. But we need to make sure that we are aligned with the will of God. Now let's go back to Romans 8. And look this time at verses 15 through 17. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him in order that we may be glorified with Him. Fear, in the sense of awe and respect of God. It is so important that we understand that. The great servant of God, Paul, and I say with him in 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, and this is the way I first learned it, when he says, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my teaching was not with words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It's not in my notes, but for some reason it popped up on the computer screen. Eunice is her name. I baptized her and her son about 60 years ago. And I spent a lot of time with her son. One day she said to me, Herman, I have told my son, Rhett, that anything that you tell him to do, he can do. I said, don't do that, because I make mistakes. She's still alive. She's in her 90s. And so is he. But I hope we all understood that you have to run everything that you do, that you live, through the will of God, and make sure that what you do and say is God's will. So why was Paul nervous? You ever think of Paul as being afraid of anything? But he said, I, to the Corinthians, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching, I tried to make sure that all I did was preach Christ to you and Him crucified, so that your faith would stand in the power and wisdom of God, and not from a man. Here in this 8th chapter of the book of Romans, he talks about us being God's children. He said the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. Have you ever sat down with someone and they said, I want to tell you what God told me last night? Make sure that you know the Word of God. Because I've had folks tell me that, and what they told me didn't sound anything like what God said. And that's what can happen to us. But he said the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. How many times have we heard witnesses of the same happening? Totally disagree. It's a blue car. No, it was a black car. It was a van. No, it was a pickup. We see things differently because of how we're looking. But he says the Spirit bears witness how? With our spirit. And if you believe something and you think something that contradicts what the Holy Spirit says, I will take the Holy Spirit. And not me and not you. And I'm so grateful to God that fear and love can be balanced in my life. I am not afraid of God, but I fear God. I remember going down in 1975 in an airplane. A friend of mine was flying it. Wasn't flying that time. And I remember what it was like when he said, "We have to get on the ground." And we're in Idaho in a newly cultivated field with outcroppings of lava rock everywhere, wheel lines, and we're down marked to 40 miles an hour. It's amazing we didn't just fall out of the air. We kind of did. But Homer got it on the ground and we're bouncing across. I'm praying this whole time. I'm not scared. But I realized this was a real opportunity for God to punch my ticket. And that was all right with me. And all of a sudden we're rolling along across this plowed field. Potato rows are up in mounds. We're bumping along over that. And I did think, we're going to be okay. About that time, the plane went up over this outcropping of lava rock, stood on its nose and turned upside down, broke the windshield out, dust everywhere. Homer said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yes, are you okay?" And he said, "Yeah, let's get out of here." Well, the door was on my side. He didn't have a door. So I unlatched the door and reached for my buckle on my seatbelt. And he said, "Remember, you're upside boom." I hit right on my head. But that was okay. I rolled out of there. And I realized the power of God. I realized that our lives had been spared. And I've always been grateful to God for that. I don't know how many close calls you had. My life has been threatened a number of times, yes, for preaching the gospel. Remember, I've been alive a long time. I don't know if you ever heard anybody be threatened recently for that. But I got one more point that I want to present to you before I conclude this lesson. In Acts chapter 10, we read about a man by the name of Cornelius. The Bible talks about him being such a great man. This is what it says in Acts 10. "And there was a certain man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort. A devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people, and prayed to God continually. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in to him and said to him, 'Cornelius,' And fixing his gaze upon him and being much alarmed, he said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is called Peter. Now, as we see this conversation take place, you see the man, and he's a great man. He does not know about Jesus, but he loves God. The Bible says he feared God and had taught all of his household to fear God. Peter's having a little trouble because traditionally he's not supposed to spend time with Gentiles. But in verses 34 and 35, Peter opened his mouth, said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. It is so important for us to understand the reverence, the fear of God, and at the same time to realize that love will destroy the fear. 1 Peter 3:12, which is from the Old Testament also. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. That the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Do you fear God? Do you love God? If you were fortunate enough to have a good Christian parent, at least one, you know what it means to fear and to love. To know when you ought to speak and not to speak. A lot of times young people have trouble knowing what to do with that. But so do we. And I would that everyone would learn how to address God. If you're in the habit of using God's name in a light way, please don't do that. Because God does not respect that. And it can get you in trouble with God. And you should be afraid of that. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your being. Love God. And then you're not going to be terrorized by the power of God. I'm so grateful that I have the opportunity of living and serving a God of mercy, a God of love, a God who will take care of all this terrible stuff that's going on in the world. God doesn't need me to do it, but quite often I say, Lord, if you're looking for a good place to stop all this, I think this is a good time. There is so much evil in the world. I want to remind you that Peter said, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He said that in the context of people saying, well, God's not, you know, He's not going to send Jesus back. It's been so long and everything's started going on like it was before, and so God's really not going to do that. And Peter said, the Lord's not slow about His promises. Some men count slowness, but it's long suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. I pray daily and over, O God, make me like Jesus. I want to be loving and compassionate like our God. And I know that the power of God is prevalent, and God can do whatever He chooses to do. And I want to be okay with that. And I hope you are. But I hope that when fear knocks at your door, that you let faith open the door. And there won't be anyone there. Serve God. Live for God. Put fear and love in the proper place in your life. And may God bless you and keep you. And if you are not in perfect harmony with God today, and you need to do something about that, or you want to, you need to, if you're not there, please be aware we'll do whatever we can. I've gone 30 seconds over, so I'll go another 30 seconds over, okay? This is my time. I'm talking about, not yours. You're not beating your watch or anything. Just want you to know. I remember preaching a sermon in Boise, Idaho, long time ago. There was a man there who had been brought by a friend of mine. Said, I want you to go and listen to this man preach. When the sermon ended, and I didn't always end, as many did that day and age, with faith, repentance, and baptism. We had an invitation, and a man came down the aisle crying. I'd never met him, of course. I took his hand, and I said, what can we do for you? And he said, I want to be a Christian. I don't know what to do, but whatever it is, I'll do it. I seriously considered taking him into the baptistry. But I decided the best thing that I needed to do was to ask my friend who brought him to study with him to make sure that he knew what to do. That happened. He lived. He didn't die. I knew he could, but he didn't. And my friend taught him and baptized him. Praise God for that. But I remembered that. Old computers boot up things every once in a while that you hadn't planned to use. So just have to put up with it. If you need anything that we can do to help you, we love you, and we will do it. Just let us know as we stand and sing this song.